Chapter 5. The full outline of what Mace and Plo are planning is comprehensive. From a staged love match with a clone to using a Sith Lord to spread information that will directly undermine the Gar, and Cody wants to say he's surprised, but, well, for a Jedi plan, in his experience, it's actually pretty solid and reasonable. When he says as much, Mace gives him a look that's faintly pained and says, "Obi-Wan takes after his master far too much, and his Padawan." Cody privately thinks that Anakin's picked up a lot of bad habits from Obi-Wan too, but keeps his mouth shut. If Mace wants to think that it only goes one way, he's welcome to the misconception. "You're all right playing this?" Cody asks, finally shutting down the data pad when he's gotten as much information on the plan as he probably needs. It's nice to have a plan, honestly. He hadn't quite thought that Mace was kicking this all off without any idea of where to go except straight to pissing off the Senate, but he hadn't not thought that. From what he's seen, even the most carefully controlled Jedi work on impulse and instinct. Obi-Wan says that's how the Force speaks to them. Cody's pretty sure that at least half the time, it's just generals being reckless. Mace raises a brow, politely confused. "This?" he echoes. It's still hard to find the words, even with several hours crammed into a small room with Mace. Cody grimaces, waving a hand between them, and clarifies. "Being in love. Weddings need witnesses, right? Even if we're just doing it on a deck of the ship somewhere. And that means people watching. People we don't want to have figure out it's all for show." For a moment, Mace is silent, considering.
"Jedi go undercover frequently," he says at length. "I can't promise to be the most expressive partner, but small gestures will mean more than large ones, coming from the two of us."
Which doesn't make the small gestures any easier, but at least Cody won't have to push himself too hard. He nods, faintly relieved, and considers for a second. "Once the news breaks, it's going to be everywhere by the end of the cycle," he says, maybe a little aggrieved.
Mace snorts, amused. "A plus. We can keep things small, and it will only make more people talk."
"Because gossip on a ship runs faster than any comm transmission in the known galaxy. And the more secret the news, the faster it spreads." Cody huffs a chuckle, sinking back in his chair, and rolls his shoulders to get rid of the tension that's built up from hunching over documents. Thinks, this might even work, and is mildly astonished by it.
"Eloping probably won't have the same impact, huh?" he says ruefully. From this close, the humor is easy to read in Mace's dark eyes. "Unless Holonet reporters crash the event," he confirms, "and I don't think we want that."
"I reserve the right to shoot journalists on sight," Cody mutters, remembering his last run-in with the type, asking him about losses and how he felt about the Sep cause right off the battlefield made him want to introduce those asking to the butt of his blaster. He'd refrained, but it'd been a near thing at some points.
"Luckily," Mace says, one brow lifting faintly like that will hide the curl of his mouth, "we can avoid journalists entirely and simply get married here."
"With only the gossip mill as witness," Cody agrees with a sigh. Which brings up the question of real witnesses, and the fact that he's going to have to ask someone to stand with him, and...
"Are rings a tradition with Jedi?"
Mace pauses, surprised, and his expression slips into something amused and exasperated in equal measure.
"Marriage isn't tradition with Jedi," he reminds Cody.
"Or with clones," Cody says, and rubs his hands over his face. This is going to be fun. Neither of them come from cultures where people get married, traditionally.
Everything they do, they're going to have to figure out one step at a time, with no customs to help them. He knows a lot of humans and near humans have kept the custom of exchanging rings, but neither Jedi nor clones tend to have possessions. And when they do, it's always practical things, meant for fighting more often than not. Rings don't usually factor into that.
Would you like rings?
Mace asks, even curious. He's watching Cody, and Cody can't quite bring himself to meet his eyes.
I have no idea, he says, rueful,
and it makes Mace's expression shade towards amused agreement.
Guess it's a moot point out here.
Yes, Mace agrees. Something to consider at a later time.
Practical. Everything about this plan's been practical so far, even if the trappings of it are patently ridiculous. Cody will admit to a bit of relief about that, too. Mentally, he marks the conversation as something to revisit later and sets it aside, then asks, how many witnesses are required?
One for each of us,
Mace says, then pauses, considers for a moment, and says,
were we in a convenient place or with other battalions, I would ask Depa to stand with me. But I would rather not do any part of this over calm. We can wait, if you would prefer, until we're near other people, but...
Now is probably better, Cody says. Considers who he could ask to stand, and it's pretty much down to Obi-Wan, Rex, and Pons. Anakin is out for obvious reasons, and Ahsoka would tell Anakin immediately, which Cody isn't prepared to deal with. The only other options would be Bly or Gree, and both of them are on the front right now. Not convenient. So plans have to be adjusted to what's available.
I think we've lost the romance already, if we're talking about this like we're arranging a battle, Cody says, amused at himself.
Mace snorts quietly, sitting back and crossing his legs, and watches Cody for a moment.
We'll be expected to share quarters afterwards, he says, if the Senate decides to investigate whether our marriage is real or a sham. I don't want them to have any room to cast doubts.
Cody was thinking that too, and it's unnerving, potentially, but Cody's bedded down with plenty of brothers in worse conditions. Sharing a nicer bed someplace where they're probably not about to get shelled isn't going to be a hardship.
I'll probably kick if you steal the covers, but I don't snore if that's what you're worried about.
It was indeed my greatest concern, yes.
Mace pauses, then says,
I'm going to ask Pons to stand as my witness.
Well, that cuts down Cody's choices even more. Not that he minds. It will make choosing easier.
Not General Kenobi?
He asks, curious despite himself. He's heard that Obi-Wan's old master was a good friend to Mace, and he knows that Mace and Obi-Wan have more than a passing acquaintance. Maybe friends, even, but he's never asked directly.
Mace grimaces. If I ask Obi-Wan, he either won't believe me, or he'll believe I'm possessed, he says.
Cody squints at him, but he can't tell if that's a joke or not.
It probably is.
Maybe?
However, if you wish to have him as your witness, he might take it better.
Cody thinks of telling Obi-Wan that he's getting married. Thinks of Obi-Wan showing up and finding Mace on the other side of this. And the inevitable reaction. Disbelief is likely. And probably several wounded questions. Or a lightsaber held somewhere vulnerable while he tries to work out whether they're being controlled by something.
So maybe it wasn't a joke, then.
No, he says, with all the dignity he can muster, which isn't much when he's talking about sneaking around behind his general's back to marry another general, and let his general find out what's happened from the grapevine, preferably well after it's happened. Cody winces.
I'll pick Rex, probably, for my witness.
Mace accepts that without comment, inclining his head.
I have the appropriate forms with me,
he says, and Cody isn't surprised in the least.
Admiral Keelan is authorized to perform the ceremony aboard ship, Unless you would like to find someone else on planet when we've recaptured Ord Radama.
Admiral is fine. He'll probably be skeptical, but he's an old spacer. Cody's sure he's seen more than his share of last-minute marriages and the like, even if not between Jedi and a clone. It's probably better not to leave this whole thing to the chance of them managing to recapture the planet, regardless. Cody wants it squared away well before then.
There's a pause, and when Cody glances at Mace, there's an amused slant to his mouth. At Cody's raised brow, Mace says, I was going to ask when you were off so we could schedule the ceremony between our shifts, but perhaps that's too practical.
It's enough to make Cody laugh, even so.
Well, scheduling it during our shifts would definitely start the rumors off, he says. Both of us missing work, General Kenobi would really think we were possessed.
Humor deepens the lines in Mace's face, makes his whole expression warmer. He's not smiling, quite, but Cody thinks it's equivalent.
I would rather avoid that, if at all possible, he says dryly. After our shifts, then.
Cody tries to remember the duty roster he just drew up. That puts him off in the early evening. Before evening meal, he suggests.
We can celebrate with mess rations.
Mace agrees gravely, and Cody snorts. Maybe, he thinks, this won't be too bad. Then he remembers that he still has to ask Rex and tell him and wants to groan.
Sure, you don't want to ask General Skywalker to stand with you?
He asks, mostly to distract himself.
Just for his face when you do?
For a moment, Mace almost looks tempted.
You enjoy tormenting Anakin that much? He asks,
arching a brow at Cody. But Cody can see the amusement he's trying to hide. After some of the stunts he's pulled on me and Rex? Absolutely. Cody says, without remorse, and actually gets a flash of a real smile.
I was hoping we'd get along, and now I know we will, Mace says, amused,
and it abruptly occurs to Cody that this is just as much uncertain territory for Mace as it is for him. The revelation takes a moment to settle, and Cody has to swallow, then glances up. Mace's eyes are on the holoprojector, though, distracted and cautious, and Cody looks too. He can't see anything but the edge of some kind of interstellar cloud beyond the darkness of the Radama void, and after a moment he asks,
Is that something we're going to have to worry about in addition to Grievous?
Mace's gaze flickers back to him, like he's been startled out of thought, but he reaches for the holoprojector. A tap at the controls shifts the view, and suddenly all Cody can see is an endless nebula of dully glowing red, stretching out like a vast wall beyond the edge of the system.
It's called the Stygian Caldera, Mace says. A nebula that acts as a hyperspatial breakwater, difficult to navigate under the best of circumstances.
A pause, careful, and he says,
I don't like staging such a large-scale attack so close to it.
Another reason to get married quickly? Cody asks. Almost a joke, even if he can't quite manage to make it land right. Thankfully, Mace snorts.
Certainly enough of one, he agrees,
and a flick of his fingers turns the projector off entirely.
Get some rest, Cody. I'll find you after shift tomorrow.
Weird to hear Mace call him by his chosen name. Still, Cody supposes he's going to have plenty of time to get used to it. You as well, he says, and follows Mace to his feet. Pauses, unsure what he can possibly say, and finally settles on. Any spare dress uniforms on board?
I'll have one sent to your quarters, Mace agrees. We should have your size.
Cody snorts, because if they don't, there's a problem. One size really does fit all, he agrees, droll, and steps back.
Good night, Mace.
Good night, Cody.
Another twitch of Mace's hand has the privacy lock disengaging, and Cody slips out into the hall, letting the door slide shut behind him as he stands there. Thinks, bemused, and more than a little disbelieving, I'm getting married tomorrow. It's not something he's ever really imagined, even in nebulous, after-the-war contemplations. And he especially never factored High General Jedi Master Mace Windu into things. Cody's pretty decent at rolling with the punches, though. And with freedom on the other side of this one, he'll make it through. When he slips back into Pawn's quarters, Boots silent on the deck plating, Pawn's is asleep. But the light of a holovid shows Rex is still awake. As Cody sits down to pull his boots off, Rex rolls up onto one elbow, gives him a pointed look. Out late, Vod? He says neutrally. The invitation to talk is clear, but Cody just as clearly ignores it. Got caught up talking, he says, and strips off his armor with the ease of too much practice, settling it in the footlocker. To General Windu? Rex's brows almost touch his bleach blonde hair. He talks? For fun? From the far bed, Pons makes a grumpy sound and rolls over. Frack off, he mutters, and a moment later, his uniform jacket flies across the room to hit Rex. That's my general you're talking about, Vod. I think it's a reasonable question, Rex retorts, and balls it up and throws it back. Cody rolls his eyes at both of them, sliding into bed and pulling up the covers. Keep your force-awful hollows quiet, he tells Rex. Some of us don't care that her twin came back from the dead to ruin her marriage. That was last season, Rex says, smirking. I can give you a rundown of this season, Vod, seeing as you remember the highlights. I'll throw something at you, too, Cody informs him. And I'm not as nice as Pons. Rex scoffs, but doesn't argue. Instead, he flops back onto his bed and says, They're entertaining. Cody puts all of his deep, deep skepticism into a disbelieving hum and closes his eyes. Cody wonders, a little desperately, if he can just tell Rex where to show up and when and leave it at that, cutting out the truly painful explanation that will inevitably follow anything more complicated. It's tempting to try, honestly, and he considers the potential fallout as he picks at his breakfast and tries not to miss the handful of real meals he managed to snag on Coruscant before they were called away. Across the table, Rex is watching him, looking torn between amusement and concern. You know, he says, if you keep brushing me off and telling me you're fine, eventually I'm going to go to Obi-Wan. Cody pauses, then levels a look at his friend. Obi-Wan? He repeats, raising a pointed brow. The very tips of Rex's ears turn red, no matter how hard he tries to keep his expression even. He got annoyed at being called general all the time. And he's not technically my commander. Of course, Cody says, amused. He takes another bite, then clears his throat. They've got their own table in the mess, and there aren't any brothers close enough to overhear unless they're actively trying to eavesdrop. And besides that, it's not a secret anymore. So he steels himself and says, I am fine. I'm just trying to figure out how to ask you for a favor. And up go the brows again. A favor? Rex echoes. What, you need someone to take a shift terrifying the shinies? Like I'd need help with that, Cody retorts, grimaces faintly, and says, No, it's personal. Personal? You want a personal favor? Rex grins. I never thought I'd see the day. Cody kicks him under the table, aiming for a kneecap, and feels vindicated when Rex jolts and swears at him. Yes or no, Vod, if you don't want to do it, I'll ask Waxer. Waxers are romantic. He'll be charmed by the whole idea. And Cody can order him to shut his mouth if he's going to make a smart comment. Maybe Waxer's actually the better choice. Like he can see Cody's decision shifting, Rex quickly raises his hands. If you want a favor, you've got it. But if it's something humiliating, I'm going to make you regret it. You'd try, Cody retorts, but breathes out, scrubs a hand over his face and warns, don't make a scene, all right? Rex stares at him for a moment, mildly perturbed. Cody? He asks warily. No scenes, Cody repeats, more forcefully, and then says, quick, like ripping a back-to-patch off, I'm getting married and I need you to be my witness. What? Rex says, about three times his normal volume. Cody gives him a dirty look and he snaps his mouth shut, disbelief spreading across his face. Married? He hisses, more quietly. What the hell, Vod? When? To who? You didn't even tell me you were seeing someone. It's been going on for a while, Cody says. A lie, but better than Rex knowing this has been on the table for barely 3 days, and Cody only agreed less than 12 hours ago. We didn't want anyone to know, but tonight, after shift. For a long moment, Rex just stares at him. Tonight, he repeats, I get 12 hours notice that you're getting married. Cody does the math, just to be a jerk. Less than 9, he corrects, and Rex throws his napkin at his head in annoyance. Cody catches it before it can drop into his calf. The only wedding gift you're getting is a kick in the ass, he says, and you still haven't told me who. I know. Cody snorts at his glare and says, you're going to have to turn up if you want to know. Better than telling him it's Mace in the middle of the mess, after his reaction to the news, Cody's getting married at all. You tell Obi-Wan yet? Rex asks warily. I know you're a tight-lipped idiot, but... I'll tell him. Eventually, after the paperwork's filed. Maybe with at least one peristeel wall between them. Rex's raised brow says he can read what Cody isn't saying perfectly well. Vod, he's your general. And this is for me, Cody counters. Which, truth. Surprisingly entirely truthful. Just, I'll share it on my own terms, all right? This is going to go over badly, Rex warns. But there's something sympathetic in his eyes. Where? B-deck observation room, Cody says, relieved that Rex isn't going to push any further. It's nothing fancy. It better not be. I left all my dress duds back on Coruscant. Rex eyes him for another long moment, then says, quietly, glad you found something for yourself, Cody. Cody breathes in, breathes out. Freedom, he thinks. That's what he's found. Yeah, me too. There's a moment of silence as he picks a few more bites out. Then Rex frowns. Wait, he says. Is this even legal? Can you get married? Cody rolls his eyes. Yeah, because I'd go out of my way to ask you to witness my illegal marriage, he says, unimpressed. Rex throws his fork at him. Cody catches it, and then keeps it, because he's not above playing dirty when it's an option. He's actually kind of looking forward to seeing Rex's face when Mace walks into the observation room. But that's probably just retribution for all the longing glances Rex and Obi-Wan have made him suffer through these past few months. Or Cody's an asshole. It's always so hard to tell. Grievous has blockaded the planet, but hasn't managed to do more than siege the main city, Ayla says, grimly satisfied. Our starfighters have been able to keep him from advancing further, and loyalists on the planet have been harrying him from the swamps. His hold is tentative right now.
Not nearly the crushing defeat he thought, Commander Bly agrees. The holos flicker for a moment, then steady, and he glances back over his shoulder at something beyond the range of the projectors.
There's some heavy interference here, but it's kept Grievous from picking up our fighters until it's too late for him.
Mace frowns, not liking that, even if it's useful in the short term.
Don't let him push you back any further, he says.
We won't, Ayla says, and manages a crooked smile. I have no plans to encroach on the caldera, Master.
For the better, Obi-Wan murmurs, stroking his beard absently. It's supposedly beastly to navigate, and all other problems aside, I'd trust your pilots over droids to get you through it. But I'd just as soon not risk anyone without dire need.
Ayla nods. We have other escape routes planned, she says, should it come to that. Grievous seems occupied trying to subdue the planet, however, and his ships are maintaining their blockade. We should be fine until you arrive, Masters.
The Endurance and her fleet should be enough to break the blockade, Anakin puts in, frowning at the map. Then Master Windu and I will land our troops near the capital and see if we can't make Grievous turn tail.
Our priority will be to recapture the ordnance depots outside the city, Mace says, slightly reproving. Capturing Grievous would be an important win, but maintaining our hold on the outer rim is even more pressing. And Force knows he's never attempted to stick around after a battle started to go badly for him, Obi-Wan says bitterly. The ripple of his distaste is loud in the Force.
Nothing says we can't do both, Anakin says stubbornly. Ayla, will the 327th be close enough to assist in the ground invasion?
Of course. The flash of Ayla's smile is all white teeth.
I'll leave the cruisers to the admirals and assist you myself.
Mace feels a flicker of amusement. It's always hard to tell Ayla was Quinlan's Padawan, right up until it isn't.
Very well, he says. You and Skywalker will concentrate on the capital and Grievous's main force. Obi-Wan and I will focus our attacks on the droids at the depots. Ayla, keep us appraised of troop movements and any changes in Grievous's tactics.
Of course, Masters. Ayla inclines her head, and Mace nods in return, pulling back as his comm beeps with a message from command. Pawns at his shoulder, murmurs something quick in Mandoa to Bly, getting a quiet reply, and then follows Mace down towards the hangars to oversee the readying of transports.
Unless Grievous gets reinforcements, we should be able to break his hold quickly, Pond says after a moment scanning through the rough maps they've drawn up. Presumably, Mace says, checking the message.
It's the Admiral in charge of the negotiator, with news that the engine they were having trouble with is fixed and the cruiser is now at full speed, and he lets himself have a breath of relief. The message will have gone to tactical, too, so he doesn't pause, glances sidelong at his commander, and then deliberately folds his hands in the small of his back.
Pons, I have a question for you, and I would like you to answer it freely without consideration of rank.
Pons blinks, but to his credit, he doesn't even hesitate.
Of course, sir.
Mace weighs the phrasing for a moment, then asks,
would you consider us friends beyond our service together?
Yes, sir,
Pons answers, and there's no hesitation there either. His smile is a little wry, but warm, too.
You've saved my life enough times that I think it counts, ranks aside. Good.
Mace lets out a breath, then says carefully,
I would say the same, and as a friend, I would like to ask you to stand with me for a marriage ceremony today.
Pons comes to a sharp halt in the middle of the corridor.
Sir?
He manages. Mace stops, too, turning to raise a brow at him. Doesn't repeat himself, but waits patiently. It takes Pons a second to sort out his thoughts.
I didn't think Jedi could get married, he finally offers, cautious.
They don't, generally, Mace allows. But that doesn't tend to be the same as can't.
Pons accepts that, turns it over for a moment.
Is it someone I know? He asks.
Cody, Mace answers without flinching, watching Pons' reaction. There's a quick frown that's smoothed away behind a neutral expression, but nothing more. And after a second, Pons simply nods.
I'd be honored, he says simply. Today?
After shift, Mace confirms. We were hoping to do it while on Coruscant, but...
But, Pons agrees, entirely familiar with such changes of plans, and smiles.
Well, even if it's not the way you were intending, congratulations.
Thank you,
Mace says, a little bemused. He does wonder what Pons' reaction would be if he knew the reason behind it, but they can learn his reaction to getting dragged sideways into citizenship later. There's a pause as Pons regards him, then a breath.
Do you have rings, sir?
Pons asks. Razor's not half bad at making jewelry, as long as he's got some wire and a soldering torch. He's off until tonight, too. Cody had asked about rings, hadn't known if he wanted them, but that he'd thought of them at all, when Mace hadn't even recalled their significance, likely means that having them wouldn't be entirely inappropriate.
If you think he'd be willing, he says, that's far more than I expected from this.
Pond's smile is crooked.
Can't go into it with low expectations, he says. You're a high general. I'll get Razor some wire and ask him personally.
Thank you, Mace says quietly,
and Pond's smile smooths out into something brighter.
What are friends for?
He asks, quietly pleased, and then turns and disappears down the hallway, back towards Lightning Squadron's quarters.